First, immigrants who came to the United States brought many items, including clothing, tools, seeds to start their farming efforts, and musical instruments. They also brought a lot of knowledge and skills that would serve them well in their new homes. Many were skilled artisans in their home country, and they continued their crafts here, which included teaching younger generations.
And these are skills like woodworking, weaving, blacksmithing, and of course much more. And today, folk art schools are keeping those traditions alive.
We visit a couple of those schools now. Terry Van Orman is Executive Director for Folklore Village in Dodgeville. Terry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
And Simon Stumpf is president of the board of the Driftless Folk School in Viroqua. He's a volunteer and a student there. Simon, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, great to be here.
And Simon, how would you define a folk school? What do we mean by that?
Yeah, so our folk school is really a community of lifelong learners that are celebrating their efforts to become more resilient, both personally and as a community, in keeping alive those skills that you mentioned in the intro here, but also like adding to them the contemporary skills that we know that we need, whether it's from being less reliant on fossil fuels or more reliant on your neighbors. So building up all of those skills in community and right here in our rural area.
Can you give us a sense of the range of hands-on stuff that people can do at your school?
Yeah, so, back in April, we had a class on building a solar dehydrator. Upcoming classes are around making your own cheese or deer butchering the last weekend of deer hunting right here after Thanksgiving. So really, whether it's feeding yourselves or making baskets, forging a blade, so beefing up your blacksmithing classes. There are the hard skills that you can practice and hone, literally. But then there's also that idea of doing it together with your neighbors or with local experts, so we can keep those traditions and those crafts alive.
And Terry, you're at Folklore Village in Dodgeville. That's been around for a long time, but I understand the folk school part of the program is a little newer there. What led Folklore Village to get into this?
Well, several things. One was that our founder, Gene Farwell, visited the John C. Campbell Folk School in the late 80s. And at that time, she envisioned something very similar at Folklore Village, but she became ill, and for various other reasons, this never happened. So I've been here about 3 years now, and with my own background with folk schools, so I was instrumental in the founding of the Ozark Folk School at the Ozark Folk Center, and also I directed the Arkansas Craft School for 5 years, I realized this was a way that I could use my experience to help bring to fruition one of our founders' dreams. Also, it gives us a way to further enhance and expand upon our mission statement, which is to provide opportunities for individuals and communities to honor, experience, and support ethnic and traditional folk life. So it's a way we can, we've been doing music and dance for decades, but this is something we can really expand upon.
And what kind of skills are people going to be working on with some of the first offerings?
Well, in this inaugural year, we are going to stick to classes that have a Scandinavian theme. So we're going to be offering the arts of rosemauling and Scandinavian figure carving, and then various crafts, including hardanger embroidery, blacksmithing, woven heart baskets, knoll binding, shoemaking. We're going to be building Cantaway finished musical instrument, sewing the little exterior pockets that you see on Swedish costuming, spoon carving, and jewelry making. We're also going to have some building classes. So we have been in the process for a couple years now of rebuilding a Norwegian log cabin that was originally built by a craftsman, as you were talking about in your introduction, whose name was Aslak Lee. He was a craftsman from Norway, and he built this cabin, and we moved it to Folklore Village some time ago and have been in the process of rebuilding it. And then we'll also do some foodways classes that, again, with the Scandinavian theme, like lefse and Abel Skiver and Rummegrut and things like that.
We're keeping some traditional folk arts alive here in Wisconsin. We're talking to Terry Van Orman from Folklore Village in Dodgeville and Simon Stumpf with the Driftless Folk School in Viroqua. Simon, let's talk about who's teaching these classes. I'm guessing you've got these craftspeople. What is it like for them when they get this opportunity to hand their skills over to a new group of people, maybe a new generation of people?
Sure. I think one thing that makes the Driftless Folk School unique is that we're 11 years old. We do have a campus. We do have some of the accoutrements of what you'd expect a school might have. But a lot of our classes still take place in the homes of local people and in the farms and backyards and around the kitchen tables. Last weekend, we had a sourdough bread making class. There's the starter that we use in that class was used in our very first class offered by the Folk School in 2006. And it's symbolic. I mean, the metaphor is probably not lost on your listeners. We've kept alive that starter and also that tradition. The instructor for our upcoming home creamery courses, again, the weekend after Thanksgiving, is a local herbalist, a cheesemaker, you know, very well respected in the community, a longtime teacher. And so I think the Folk School, by producing a catalog, by maintaining a Facebook presence and really connecting with thousands of people across the region, is doing us service in helping promote and lift up and showcase these individuals, but also, you know, the community and the culture that they're a part of here.
And Terry, you talked about you've done this in a couple other places in the U.S., now here in Wisconsin. How does doing these traditional folk arts and crafts, how does that connect us with our heritage, our history in the country?
Well, it connects in a very tangible way, which I think is just the best way of all. You know, when you're actually making an object or a foodstuff that your Swedish or Norwegian grandmother might have created, when you're handling timbers that were originally hewed in 1848 by a Norwegian craftsman, you know, that's a really, you know, you can touch history by doing that. And so it's so meaningful to the students when they do something like that. And most of the students that I've either taught myself, which I have used to teach weaving, and then or managed in a folk school type of situation, you know, they come away so happy and enriched. And it's a really positive thing for me to be able to do as an administrator.
And Simon,
one thing I think that's really interesting is I'm a millennial. I'm 33 years old, and I think most people assume that with YouTube, you know, the folk schools might disappear. In fact, we've seen a huge increase in the number of folk schools popping up around the country, and I think it's because of what Terry just described. There's something really powerful about practicing these skills and sharing skills in community and in person with other people. I mean, YouTube might be like a trailer or a teaser for timber frame building or home composting or what have you, to be able to do it with other people, share those skills, and maybe post your own content to social media, I think is a really powerful driver of the increase that we're seeing in folk schools all over the country.
That's interesting, Simon. Terry, do you see that too? People might maybe get that first taste online on YouTube or whatever, but really dive in and get that firsthand experience with a folk school?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, students of mine in the past, you know, they would say, well, I used to teach weaving, so that I wanted to learn to weave. And so I bought the book and I couldn't learn from the book. So I bought the video and I watched it on the screen, and I still couldn't figure it out. And they would come to me and 5 days later they could go home and weave. So there's something really powerful about that direct transmission between like master and student that can't happen any other way.
And Simon, the blacksmithing sounds, I've seen blacksmithing demonstrations. I mean, how quick is it from getting the first lesson to actually, you know, working with the hot stuff and hammering? I'd be a little nervous, actually.
Yeah, no, the first lesson includes working with the hot stuff. Robert Schultz, our instructor for our blacksmithing courses, was one of the founding instructors, and his home is the base for those courses. You not only learn about blacksmithing and leave with a forged blade, if that's what you signed up for, or a turned piece of metal, you experience life on his homestead with his family within his reality, which I think is also the other piece that folk schools keep alive. We need so desperately in this country to be able to connect across difference. And these folk schools, they provide these portals or these opportunities for people to connect, obviously within our community, but more than half of our students come from metropolitan areas around the Midwest. And so I think for those students and for our local community who get to meet other people and make a little money too, I think it's a really powerful service that these organizations are providing.
And Terry, can you leave us with a pep talk to try to get us motivated if people are out there thinking, yeah, maybe I'd want to do something like that?
You won't regret it. You'll love it, and it will feed a whole lifetime of learning for yourself. Do it. Just do it, and you won't be sorry that you did.
Terry, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Simon, thanks for taking the time today. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
We've been talking to Simon Stumpf. He's president of the board of the Driftless Folk School. That's in Viroqua. And Terry Van Orman is the executive director for Folklore Village in Dodgeville. They join us to talk about folk schools here in Wisconsin and how they continue to attract enthusiastic students to learn about everything from blacksmithing to weaving to traditional music.